So the business discussing the tying of the shoelaces. We'll just mention one or two shirayim with reference to that issue. Let's just review here. The Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch pointed out in Siman Bei Sif Dalin, Yinol Min Al Yom Etchila, you put on the right shoe, you don't tie it, then you put on the left shoe and you tie it, and then subsequently you tie the right shoe. The Ramah added that B'minolim Shalana She'enam Shira Yinol Shal Yom Etchila. That's what we spoke about on Friday, different types of shoes that have different types of lacing, labdafka lacing, scotch, all different types of, when you point out that there's no kshiram, there's no requirement. So in general, the reason why we do the right shoe first, as Shabura says, in Sivkot and Gov, Shatara nasta chashivus, ela small, shekosho, ela tefillin shayat. So the reason why we put the right shoe on first, because yom and kodom is small. Then we put on the left shoe. Well, we tied the left shoe first because of the kesher tefillin, and that's what the Mishabura points out here, even if they go ahead and bring him, the Mishabura says, in Tzimkot Zayin, in this dami lo shel smol, yamtin achaviyo lo shel yamin. Let's say it happens that they bring him first the left shoe, so he should wait till they bring him the right shoe. And the right shoe should go first. Now, as I mentioned last week, that there's some basing on the pasuk, lo sasim and adorash agidulcha, yamin u'smol. And again, yamin coming before smol. And the Mishabura doesn't actually bring a source in the Torah for this, but that was many Yachronim actually quote in the Mokra of Masechah Shabbos there in Perek Bamei Isha and Daf Samech Aleph, where this is discussed. So they quote actually the Bechor Shor, and others actually refer to this pasuk. We asked, what about a lefty? So here also, that's again discussed in the Shulchan Aruch over here. Mitzad Chashivas, certainly he puts on the right shoe first, but he ties the tefillin in his right hand. But now the question is, does he tie his right shoe first or not? So the Mishabura says he ties his right shoe first. And the I saw in the Yarebi Sefer, Shmir Sagufa Nefesh, again he has a long Arichos and Siman Ayin, he brings many, many Marmakomos that even a left-handed person ultimately is dependent upon the world at large. I don't know if statistically most of the world are right-handed people, that's the assumption. Yeah. Somehow the Achronim and only a minority of people are left-handed. And therefore, even the lefty is Somech, is Nismach. He quotes a list, a long list of Achronim, primarily the Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor. He's the one that mentioned in Perek Bava Isha and Shabbos. He's the source of all of this. And the only thing is that he's talking there about a left-handed person who also is considered to be a left-handed in terms of his feet, not just his hands. Now, what does it mean, a left-footed person? Ma'ap Shop is
that? I think they go hand in hand, no pun intended.
I was about to say foot and foot. But anyway, what does that mean exactly? So, sometimes you have a person who's left-handed only with his hands, and you just say they go hand and foot, or hand in hand. Left-footed person and a left-handed person. So he quotes, actually, the Sefer Shmir Saguf HaNefesh from Agon Hashem Zalman Orbach, that and he claims against the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, as I mentioned just now for the Bechor Shor, that what one should do, the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, that even a left-handed person should do as a right-handed person does. But Hashem Zalman Orbach indicated otherwise, that on the contrary, that he should, in effect, make sure that he goes ahead and not necessarily tie his left shoe first, because he, in effect, is putting on tefillin on the other hand. So his kshira is on the other side. So this is a machlokes among the achronim. I'll just mention, when I mentioned earlier regarding shirayim and this halacha, so someone asked me the following question. What about, first let's start with women. Women, let's say, they wear shoes with laces. She doesn't put on tefillin. The Ramah says that a woman should not put on tefillin. The Ramah writes in the Chutz Tefillin, you should be boche against the woman who puts on tefillin, because even the Ashkenazi women accept upon themselves mitzvah seish adman groma. Machlokes the Rambam and the Balei HaTesis, machlokes the Mechaber Ramah regarding the issue of a bracha. Does a woman make a bracha on mitzvah seish adman groma? So Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal, so he writes very clearly that Chas V'Sholom, a Sephardic woman should not make a bracha on mitzvah seish adman groma. She will, if she does, I'm just putting it a bit dramatically, self-implode as a result of making that bracha. But Ashkenazic women make a bracha mitzvah seish adman groma. And that's how he passed on Alocha. And Ashkenazi women accepted upon themselves many mitzvah say Shazman Grama. I'm talking about sitting in a sukkah, I'm talking about taking a lulav, I'm talking about hearing a shofar. Those are mitzvah say Shazman Grama, and Ashkenazi women accepted upon themselves. Rav Soloveitchik always thought that that machlokes in the Rambam Tesis and the Mechaber Ramah in the Lomdus is the following. What does the bracha relate to? Does the bracha relate to the Maisa Mitzvah? If the bracha relates to the Maisa Mitzvah, so a woman cannot really say the bracha. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvah v'sivonu. She's not mitzvah. She's not commanded to be mekayim to fulfill mitzvah seh shazman grama. She's part of those mitzvah seh shazman grama. That's the mission kiddusha v'chotes. Masha'en came, the position of the Balei HaTosfos, they contend that a woman can make a bracha because they argue, okay, it's true that she will not, in effect, be mitzvah on the Maisa mitzvah of those mitzvahs that I mentioned. However, she gets a kiyum mitzvah. There's a mitzvah kiyumis, a woman who does, carries out the mitzvahs of lulav and esrog and shofar and sukkah and the like. So there's a mitzvah kiyumis. So the question is, does the bracha relate to the Maisa mitzvah or does the bracha relate to the kiyum mitzvah? As Al Soloveitchik in Lomdus understood the machlokes in the Mechaber and the Ramam, in the Rambam and Balei HaTosfos. And the issue, as I said, is a fascinating issue. Undoubtedly, a woman's not going to get the same schar as a male counterpart will, because it's the gather of Enem Tzuvah Vaisa. She's not obligated in the perform these mitzvahs, say Shazman Groma, and she is Bekayim the mitzvah, she carries out the mitzvah. And the way Tesis writes, the number of times Tesis points out that the moment the person is Enem Tzuvah Vaisa, so then you no longer have the Yetzahara not to do it. Once we're Tzuvah Vaisa, then you have the Yetzahara not to do the mitzvah. Yetzahara automatically comes to the fore and tries to prevent you from doing the mitzvah. Hashem came, someone who's not Tzuvah Vaisa doesn't have such a Yetzahara. So you don't have such a Yetzahara, so the schar is less. But in terms of the machlokas, it's in the Rambam and Tesis and the Mechaber Ramah, that's how Soloveitchik understood whether the bracha relates to the Maisa Mitzvah or the Kiyama Mitzvah. So now let's go back to our issue.
Wait, does saying the bracha create a problem in Baal Tosef?
That would perhaps, the bracha per se, may not be Baal Tosef, but the Maisa Mitzvah. She's not mitzvah in the mitzvah, and you go ahead, why isn't that a problem with Baltesa? So the answer is there has to be some kiyum. If there will be no kiyum on mitzvah whatsoever, then it might be a problem. Again, any kind of al-safa, tosef, the Ramban and Chumash, he contends the Baltesa, he gives the example of Yerubim and Abad, that wanted to be Mechadish and New Yomtiv. So in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudal, the Gemara really deals with the issue, namely, even in terms of Purim, on what basis the Chazal have the right to go ahead and institute a Yom Tov of Purim. The Gemara has two issues, the Gemara Daf Zayin, the Gemara Daf Yudalit. Daf Zayin, the Gemara deals with the question of Megillas Esther, that what's the marker for that, and then there's a second issue of the Yom Tov of Purim. The Gemara finds a Kal V'Chomer, that the Gemara says that if we go, and the Gemara uses the Kal V'Chomer Daf Yudalit, which some say is a Din D'Oraisa, regarding the saying of Halel, that Gemara Daf Yudalit indicates the Halel is a Din D'Oraisa, that if they said Shira, they were under the strictures of the Hashmina Gulabi, it's called Yehudim. So the Gemara assumes you can say Halel, and the question is, can we add a Yom Tov? And the Gemara also finds a basis for adding the Yom Tov of Purim, but it's not Pashit. It would be an issue of Baal Tosfos or Kal V'Chomer, something which is, there's absolutely no mukar whatsoever. But here there is an assumption, there's a Kiyama Mitzvah, a woman does get a Kiyama Mitzvah. So that would not be Baal Tosef. As long as there's some Kiyama Mitzvah, there's no issue about Baal Tosef. So the connection to our discussion here is...
We're talking about shoes here.
What?
Yeah, no. The Mitzvah of shoes.
I'm coming back to, not the Mitzvah of shoes, but the... we saw...
The bracha on shoes. Okay.
No, because we saw the... No, we mentioned there's no bracha on shoes. We mentioned later on the Shacharim, that the bracha of Kol Masa. However, we also mentioned here, if you remember, not to walk Yachef. That's the end of this simen, the last Ramah, Velo Yelach Yachef. So there's apparently an Indian wearing shoes. I even mentioned from the Bilagoyin that his minhag was many annoying like this. On Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, they don't say the bracha of Shalsi called Tzorki, because that's what the Mishnah Berurah actually refers to the Gemara in Shabbos on Sivkot and Yudal. Shim Kodam Kol Hashiyesh Shal Vikach Minolam Levaglov Kiilu, that's called Tzorki. I explained it already in the past. So that's why they don't make that bracha until Motzei Tisha B'Av, until Motzei Yom Kippur. Now going back to the issue of a woman with shoes, with laces, she doesn't put on tefillin. She can't put on tefillin. We have to make a machah. That's a woman putting on tefillin. The only machal that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch for mitzvah seish hazman grama is not the tefillin. And the reason is because tefillin requires guf noki, and one is not mechuyev in it, so then why should we be matriach a person to go ahead and put on tefillin? And the Gemara also says that Shema Yishan, you might come to fall asleep with tefillin, which is also inappropriate. So some lam b'chuyev in the mitzvah b'chlau, that one should not dafka even though it's mitzvah seish adam groma, that one should not do so. But the question: what does a woman do as far as the leis are concerned? So I saw Rav Shlomo Zalman in Orbach Zatzal in Halichos Beisos. So he quotes actually over there, the name of Shlomo Zalman, that a woman should put on her right shoe and tie her right shoe first, because she's not connected to this whole din of kshira. The whole din that's connected to tefillin is not really relevant to a woman, and therefore she doesn't have the issue. So then the question comes up, and people asked me this question in the past: a woman putting on her children's shoes. So now the question is, what's the status over there? So pashut pshat, it only applies to the lovesh, misha lovesh na'alayim, the one that's putting on shoes, and that's the mashmos. Actually, I mean, let's say if there's someone asked me, is there a din of chinuch regarding these areas of halacha? The pashut said, again, I don't think there's such a inyan of chinuch, even though there's no doubt that this is the correct thing to do. But I'm saying the cut is not about chiyuva, so it seems to me that regarding a cut, you can put on whatever shoe. The cut not sometimes tanim are very makbid on which shoe goes on first, and they tell you, no, we're putting on only the right shoe, only the left shoe, whatever they decide, it's fine. Just as they say, lalechet ebazeret, to go with the flow.
There's no requirement
over here.
And then for the father putting on for the kid also.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, or let's say a woman or a man tying shoes for an older person. I saw that I was absolutely amazed by this. Soloveitchik Zatzal, his son-in-law, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, used to be Mishamish Yeshver. I'm talking about Mishamish Yeshver Ad Kedei, putting on his jacket, helping him put on his coat, and when he was older, and tying his shoelaces for him. The mamash, he tied all the shoelaces, literally, Shiva Shoto Legamri. The moment he saw him from, I don't know, it could be a kilometer away, he saw him, he quickly went running at top speed in order to be Mishamish Yeshver, his father-in-law. And so
and that's not Kibbutz, that's his father-in-law. Unless
there is a din of kibbutz by shvei avadat mom shut ma'gavah, the gemara mefreshet that you have to mechaved David HaMelech and Shaul. So that's requires a separate discussion. But it's a din of a father, same din. There's no distinction between a father and mother, and a shver and shviger. That the din is that there's a chiyuv of kavod, there's a chiyuv of honoring them. Ki'ilu kibbutz by but anyway, I'm talking about, let's say, a woman or a man tying shoes for an older person, as in the case I'm talking about. So it's totally none of the person is doing it, the act of tying, but the person you're doing it to, as it were. So it's totally on the man. Again, he should tie the left shoe first, because, as I said, that seems to be the halacha over here that the Mishnah Berurah mentions. Okay,
the
so
left of the person who's
right, correct, right. So again, and we saw also here in the Shulchan Aruch that what about taking off the shoes? So that's what the in Sif Hey the Mechaber writes. Shecholitz mit olav. Then you take off the left shoe first, means the right is untied, then the left is removed, and then the right. I mean, the question is, what about, right. This often is asked, and this is not an unusual question, I've been asked by a number of Kohanim. Kohanim asked me this shayla in Halacha before Bichas Kohanim. Oh, we have here, HaKohen HaGolim Echa. So that's the question, what happens then under those circumstances regarding a Kohen? I mean, let's say he's about to duchen. I mean, most kohanim I see don't wear shoes with laces. They're very wise people. This way they avoid the problem. Plus, the Gemara discussed in Seita the issue of wearing a shoe with laces, and if they're going to bend down, and then the people might think they're not kohanim, they're not really royal. There's a whole discussion about it. But the question is, or Erev Yom Kippur, v'ruach Hashecha, what should they do? Should they be chelitz yom tchila? The kohanim. Should they be chelitz yom tchila? Because if lechved mitzvah. That's the question. When Lechvera Mitzvah is a separate halacha, a separate din, then we're talking about under normal circumstances, because here we saw in Shulchan Aruch that Shecholtzim Tchila, so here it says Cholit Shel Smol Tchila, the Lashon of the
Mechaber. Because you're not taking them off to take them off, taking them off to Dukhin.
Correct. Exactly. So that's the distinction, a fundamental distinction. So some say, actually, this is quoted by Achronim. I saw actually in the Luach Eretz Yisrael, they quote from Akuk, Zatzal, who was a Kohen. This they quote from Rav Kook, that b'moka mitzvah, roi lachos shayom etchila. There you should take off dafka, your right shoe first, because that's kavod mitzvah. So kohen before the aliyah to the duchen, when he goes up to the duchen, because some hold the duchen, ma'akeh tzfad, they're very makbid on the duchen. The Gemara says, Lashon Gemara, Shoshana minayin shayil v'duchen. I saw in, many years ago, in Yeshivat HaKotel, there's a duchen, but it's not enough for all the kohenim. So what they used to do over there was, the Sfarashi kohen went up the duchen, and the Ashkenazim stayed on the floor. Because the Sfarim were more backbid on this din of duchen than the Ashkenazim. Whatever the case is, the Chol HaMitzvah cook claim that roy lachlos sheyamin chilo. We should actually first do the right, because that's covered on mitzvah or erev Yom Kippur. But there are those who are chelik on this position. Not everyone is in agreement with this position, and because the pashtus, there's no mitzvah of chalitza samin olim, as Rabbi Feinberg said a moment ago. Is there a mitzvah to put on shoes? Is there a mitzvah to take off shoes? There's no such mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? Pashtus shah. The mitzvah is you have to duch it, and you can't duch it with nalayim. You can't duch it with shoes. That's the issue. So therefore, it's not even a hechsher mitzvah. I have not carefully done a statistical study. I've not done a statistical study. Maybe you'll tell me what the meaning is. I think that, for what I can see, lo nispashin haminog lachlo shayom etchila. I haven't seen that kohenim are that makbid in terms of this particular issue, and therefore I don't think it's a fiyani uzdaiti. I don't think that this is something necessarily that one has to be concerned about.
Okay, so no one mentions untying. It's just taking right.
Yeah.
Taking off, there's no feel, it seems or nothing, no?
Yeah, that's what's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch, actually.
Not untying the yamin first, right?
Right. That's right.
Just untying the left, then take off left.
Yeah.
Right. You shouldn't do the same thing.
I mean, in general, we saw here in the Mishnah Berurah, one thing we did say, Sif Hei, when you're removing clothing or shoes, so you always do the left side first. Again, the idea is that wearing the right side for a longer period of time, so that honors the right side. It's supposed to be mechabeg, the right side. That's what the here, if you look here in Simon Beis and Sifei, that's what's mentioned here in Shulchan Aruch.
If you're doing things backward, so should you untie the yamin first and then untie the small and take off the small and then take off the yamin? Do the exact reverse of what you do putting it on? When you take off your shoes, should you do the exact reverse of what you do putting on, meaning yamin, small, yamin?
Why is that? What does that do?
What's that accomplish?
You're giving chassidut to the yamin by beginning with the yamin, but you're not taking it off yet. Only take untying it. Then you do the small, untying and taking off, and then you finish with the yamin.
No.
Just like you doing your kirmah.
I hear. I'm just saying. Have to be minded to it also.
That's I assume.
Yeah.
Just like
I hear that. Makes sense. Okay. I want to now go to another din. We're making progress. It's Sidbob. We try to learn Be'iyun. My sheet in general is Tomat the Kavanah, the Habib Shomu Kavanah. Try to understand what the halacha is all about. Now, this is a very fascinating din, this halacha. Also, Leila Mekoma Skufa.
What's Simon?
I mean, Simon Bey, Sidvav. Sidvav in the Chaber. The source of this halacha, as you can see, in the Be'agola is the Gemara Kedusha, the Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara says exactly what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Why should I not walk Mekoma Skufa? Why should I not walk? How do you translate koma skufa in a haughty kind of fashion? Now, exactly what is considered to be haughtiness? What's not haughtiness in terms of walking? There's a kimat a perik in Shayo Anovi. I didn't bring my Tanakh with me, but maybe I'll bring that there, share it with you. So there the Radak comments on the psukim in the Shayo. That's what it's talking about. About women, the Gemara has in Yuma, the first paragraph of Yuma, the Gemara discusses women who walk about in a very haughty kind of mean, M-I-E-N, walk about in a haughty kind of way, and so that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes over here. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Gemara Kedushin, Shedochek Ragle Hashchina Kaviyochel. Gaiva, as we know, is not a good midah. I spoke about it already a number of times. Our Soloveitchik has to steer up to two statements in Chazal. That on the one hand, we know that the Rambam says, Miyod, Miyod, have Yishval Ruach, once you go through the other extreme. The Lashon Miyod, Miyod, Lashon Fula is used by the Mishnah there in order to underscore that even though normally the Rambam held that the golden mean, of course, M-E-A-N over here, the golden mean is the proper way to go. I teach English along the way, not to you, Baruch Hashem. You are very fluent, but I often teach people who are not necessarily coherent in any language. I have a story with Agoyne Rav Gifta Zatzal. I had a bit of a kesher with him. I went to visit Agoyne Rav Gifta in Tel Zeshiva a number of times. And I have several stories regarding that matter, but one story, when I was in the process of talking to him, so someone came over to him, a yeshiva bachur from Telz, and asked Rav Gifted if he could tell him a svara. So Rav Gifted asked me permission if this young man could go ahead and interrupt our conversation. I said, of course. And then the young man began to present the svara to Rav Gifted, and he presented him in Yiddish. It was very clear this young man did not speak Yiddish. Maybe he knew a few words, similar to the expression that someone told me, I speak Yiddish, and he says to me, Ich bin sehr disappointed. Anyway, so that kind of Yiddish, maybe three or four words he knew, so Rav Gifted told him that he'd be better off if he were to speak in a language that he's familiar with. He assumes he's American, he's a Native American, let him speak English. So he began to speak English, and then Rav Gifted asked him if he's familiar with any other language that he could speak coherently, and right in my presence. I was a bit taken aback, but he was not expressing himself with any kind of clarity. It was really... So they asked him, maybe he speaks Hebrew. So I said, yeah, of course I speak Hebrew. And then, of course, after the third attempt, he was 0-3. Anyway, so it's important to speak languages. Whatever language you speak, it should be done coherently. It should be done. The Rambam writes in the... Rambam was very didactic. That's what the one who translated Mor Nevuchim pointed out in the Hakdamah, his translation, that he has to, number one, know the content of the material, know Arabic fluently, know the language he's translated into fluently. And there's Rabbi Kivega, who writes also in the Akdamah, it's true, Rabbi Kivega also has a similar kind of aura regarding, he tells you should print my sefer, it should be done in a coherent way with the language and the ksav, everything should be barur ubahir, everything should be clear. So that's how my father Shom was very makbid on the language he was spoken properly, both English and Hebrew and Yiddish, whatever. My father knew a number of other languages as well, but he knew about six languages. But he was a polyglot. He had an interest in language. Why, I don't know, but because he had an interest, so automatically I had to have an interest in other languages, be it Latin, be it Greek. It was all Greek to me. But whatever the case is, there was an interest in language, which also is very helpful in terms of dealing with texts and the like. Anyway, all this is just Derech Agav. How did I get into the language thing?
So you used the word mean twice in correct. Two different contexts, and you told us that you're teaching us English all the way.
I wanted to note that you should be familiar with the distinction.
What do you mean by that? I'm not sure.
Harav Shmuel over here, he's very, very articulate, so he's familiar with languages much more than I am. But anyway, Bikitsur, it's important to that one should try to speak as coherently as one can. That's a very important skill that I attempt to convey to Talmidim. I think I'm very into Talmidim.
You shouldn't walk with one mean, and then you said that you should follow the mean.
Anyway, but the I'm very important.
We have no idea what you mean.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes people are, someone can be a mean person, because depending on how we use the term mean. But anyway, okay, all this was Milsim Dichus, even though usually before the Shia. Now we're in the middle of the Shia. No, so I'm into Talmidim, I'm sure Rabbi Brandfeld, you're into this as well, and saying Chaburis to their peers. And even to Rabbeim and Yeshiva, but one of the things I insist is that it be done in an orderly, systematic, evolutionarily kind of perspective. Namely, there's a middle, there's a beginning, there's an end. You don't have the middle first, and then the end at the beginning, and the beginning at the end. No, you present things in a systematic kind of way. I'm interested that they should present things in that kind of a fashion as well.
It's a chesed. It's
systematic. What was that?
It's a chesed.
But you're presenting
for the speaker and for the listener.
That's correct.
But you're presenting the Milsim B'Nechlunis in the middle.
I'm doing that because even though I'm violating the tenets of the Gemara, but generally I'm always into Milsim B'Nechusa. Since many Rosh Yeshiva pointed out to me that today the key to success in Chinuch and the like, and the rabbinate, is essentially one has to become an actor. And one is involved in not necessarily teaching, although it doesn't apply to this august audience that I have in front of me, but it applies to the audiences that I often speak to. It's called Entertainment Hour. So that's what I'm into. That's what I do. We have here a mechanic who's far better than I am in that realm and every other realm as well. Anyway, Lama Shaneh, what's important is that this halacha of Koma Skufa, so this is the Gemara in Yuma, Pasuk Shayo, maybe I'll bring the psukim, the Radak over there, and the Mitzudis, they comment that entire, those psukim in Shayo, adopted talking about Koma Skufa, walking with a kind of haughty attitude. But it goes further. V'lo yelech dal ramas b'yili harosh. And this halacha has to be discussed. This is a very... It's not offhand such a complicated din that one should not walk Dalet Amos B'Gilui Rosh, which of course implies that less than Dalet Amos, one is allowed to walk B'Gilui Rosh. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Tzivkot Yudal Midas Chasidus, Hapil Pochim Midal Ramis. Even less than Dal Ramis, you should, but that's not Mikra Din. Mishnah Berurah says that Mikra Din, only Gilu Rosh Vidal Ramis is Osa. Less than Dal Ramis is only a Midas Chasidus. If you take a look, that's the Magad Abram that he's citing. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds, Vafilu Be'ez Hashem Ba'Laila, they have what they call, my fellow Shalom used to sleep with a Shlof Kapo. That was Dafka Be'yuad for sleeping. And he was so medactic that it was literally attached to his head in a way where it could not fall off. I also have such a minimum. I try minimally to be the kind keep it over the aim to the extent that I can. But I feel a base of shit about Laila.
Nana?
V'yesha v'tzadeh dim, lomad, I feel a dollar
amas. I wasn't there, just guessing.
Rabbi Feinberg, Shlita, it's very good that you're, at least I was able to chill you a bit out from your neckishkeit. That's great. So now it says here, V'yesha b'tzadim nomad afilo dalanamas in osu midino vaklatzum maseyan. Even dalanamas is not osu mikradin. So here we have machlokes, where the walking dalanamas begin the rosh is mikradin and not mikradin. And what's fascinating is that what's the marker for this statement that it's not mikradin? So we should take a look in the Shar HaTzion. Mishnah Berurah, by the way, you know, wrote three very, very significant kedushin on Shulchan Aruch. One is the actual Mishnah Berurah, where he explains what's happening. And then the Shar HaTzion provides Mekoros, and the Be'al Loch is the lumdus of the Sefer. So he quotes here Mashal. Mashal is a famous tshuva. The tshuva of the Mashal is that under tachas, gag, if you're under a roof, there's no obligation to go ahead and you can walk with either rosh. And many are annoyed like that. I'm not going to get into now ethnic issues, distinction between different types of Jews. Some are much more makvid, always, even tachas gaga shamayim. Others, business people and the like, are not so medactic. I encounter them in certain parts of New York and the like, and even in a city in New Jersey. Whatever the case is, they're not so medactic regarding this matter, because the Marshal says what he says. Now, it's interesting that I heard many years ago from Rabbi Yisrael, there was a conservative reformed rabbi in Buffalo who went ahead and took this Marshal and made it a Chatchila. And so Rabbi Lichtenstein, who was exceptionally, extraordinarily careful with his language, with use of language, he said that this fellow built on the Marshal and he called him a bandit. I'll never forget that. This is in the late 60s. He called him a bandit, this rabbi who was not Orthodox, because he took the Marshal and completely distorted it. But the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you they have a machlokes. Is Dalai Lama's Vigili Rosh Meikra Adin, but there's apparently an opinion of the Marshal that it's not Meikra Adin. Mishnah Berurah goes on to say here, just towards the end of this little piece, he quotes that machlokes, and then he refers to a famous taz I'm going to discuss separately. I'll just read it now just to finish this kept on the Mishnah Berurah. Abu Karkosa Batzaz, the Kamim Vesim Ches, the Mizmanenu Isu Gomor Medino Lios Vigili Harosh, Afil Yoshi Bebe, so Ayin Shamata. Someone asked me, how come the Mishnah Berurah sometimes quotes the Tam and sometimes does not quote the Tam? I'm not that familiar with the Mishnah Berurah that I can actually find a pattern in terms of this issue. But the Iker Iser Midino that the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz is based on the Pasuk, B'chukoseim lo se lechum. The Taz quotes that Pasuk in Chumash, and the Torah says that one should not follow the Chukas Akam. The way the Rambam defines it, Chukas Akam means where a person wants to simulate. You want to go ahead and literally make a chikui of the Derech HaGoyim. So the question is this called the chikui of the Derech HaGoyim? So the argument is that they bare their heads. I think I mentioned this once before, that usually when they go into, I remember at baseball games, there's such a minnow, there's such a practice. When they sing the national anthem, you have to remove your cap. Why that's a halacha Moshe Sinai, some very significant, some very fundamental practice. Have the acharetz out of respect. Okay, I'm not discussing what today's situation is over there regarding the Star Spangled Banner. Matter of fact, I was zeichet to see Rashi Yeshiva, Rabban Soloveitchik Zatzal, used to sing the Star Spangled Banner with an accent. Oh, say, can you see? With the accent, with the European, with the literature accent. And he sang it, Behislavus. He also sang the national anthem of the state of Israel, also Mislavus, because then he changed the Nusach. Li Yais Am Kodosh, Be'yartzeinu. I remember I went over to him, I was 13 years old, Bar Mitzvah Bacha, and I said, how can you change the Nusach? So he said, Chofshi! Chofshi min amitzis! Chas v'sholem! So he understood that Chofshi means to be free, and that's an incorrect approach, and the approach should be Leil Sam Kodesh Be'yartzeinu, unquestionably. And then he told me that the Mechaber of that Nigin left a lot to be desired in his mores and in his observance, or lack thereof, and therefore there's no need to be medaktek on the Nusach. It's not a Nusach written by one of the Gdolei HaPaitonim, by one of the Gdolei HaRishonim. So one doesn't have to be, I remember that, Adayom Hazeh, literally when I asked him at the age of 13 regarding that. So the point being that here also, in terms of this, what I just mentioned, that needs a bit of a discussion, which I will, Bitz Hashem, bring to the fore shortly. But he quotes the Taz. The Taz claims a Din D'Oraisa. Most assume it's not a Din D'Oraisa. The wearing of Yarmulke. I'll get to Bitz Hashem shortly, the Tshuva of the Igros Moshe. But the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Taz that this is a Din D'Oraisa. It's a very big chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Generally, what's called Chuk Zahakim? Taste Abin Azar, Daf Yud Aleph, it's quoted in Yerodea. On the din of Chukas Ha'akim, he said that there are three things that define Chukas Ha'akim. Number one, if it's lechina, there's no basis, no rational underpinnings for this kind of practice, that's called Chukas Ha'akim. Number two, if it's a shame pritzus, if it's something that reflects immodesty, that reflects a lack of modesty, a lack of tznius, that's called Chukasem Lo Selechu. And number three, the shame Abedazara, something that's done for the purposes of Abedazara. We can't say in every single practice that takes place in the world that it's Chukos Ha'akum. People have a tendency to somehow be very quick and free regarding the use of this term, of this halachic terminology. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Maybe I'll read the Rambam, read Neder, tomorrow when I discuss this Taz a bit more extensively. What exactly the parameters of the Chukosem Lo Selechu are, in order that we should know when one is in violation. And also, we'll read the Tshuva of the Igros Moshe. But the Mishnah Berurah says here again, just to finish this Ketan, the Mishnah Berurah, and according to the Taz, you're talking about a lav d'oraisa. Then he goes further. The kasa magen Avram. He says the chen kasa mitzvus mari bruno. The kasa magen Avram dafil tanim gochel la'agilam mikisir arosh. This is a very significant statement. There's a din of chinuch regarding the yarmulke. Yarmulke stands for yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. Are you aware of that? I saw that actually quoted in Sfar. Yarmulke, Yiras Elokim B'Makom Hazeh, and that's the connection. And the truth is that the Gemara has several times in Shas the idea of wearing a yarmulke. Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Gemaras, and he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Kehechid Lebenu Eimsa Dishmaya. Kediisa. The Gemara says over there, Kasi Reisha. Kehechid Lebi Alach Eimsa Dishmaya. The Gemara tells over someone had head covering, and at one moment the head covering flew off his head. At that moment he was seized by a desire for kleptomania, to go ahead and grab peros on the tree that were not his. Somehow that inclination for thievery came as a result of the fact that he no longer had a head covering, and the head covering in effect engenders yashamayim. That's the Gemara twice in Shas. The Gemara actually uses that concept, that idea. So that's what Mishnah Berurah quotes here, the Magen Avraham, that there's an inyan of chinuch for yashamayim, there's no question, for a young child. The Da'o, the Lidin, Gili Arosh, then he tells you something else that also needs discussion. It's enough that a person takes his hand and covers his head. Let's say you're in a situation where you don't have a head covering. There are people here and elsewhere who are professionals in removing lice from children. And therefore, someone is Mephala Rosho. So then, obviously, when a person is taking a haircut, you don't have to keep your yarmulke on your head. And when the person is involved with lice being removed, you don't have to keep your yarmulke on your head. I'm pri begodim shekasa deledef dalamos tachas abri hashemayim lo mahani bezek kisu arosh b'yad. So again, even the marshal that I mentioned earlier, that indicates that one should actually cover one's head only when one is tachas abri hashemayim and not tachas agag. That's what I mentioned, the name of a non-observant rabbi. So here, the pri begodim says that that's not going to help you if you are tachas abri hashemayim. Kisu arosh b'yad is not going to help you in this matter. Okay, clean that tomorrow. I'm going to explore a number of these issues. Number one, the issue of koma skufa in terms of gaiva. Number two, I'm going to discuss b'chukasem lo seleichu. Number three, I'm going to discuss what seems to be an outright contradiction, not a contradiction really, but in Siman Tzadik Aleph, and perhaps I will bring another, if I recall, I will try to Xerox it, to show you in Siman Tzadik Aleph, the same halacha is mentioned again. Question: why the Mechaber felt the need to mention this din twice? But there he mentions that you can't mention the Shem Hashem B'Gili HaRosh in Siman Tzadik Aleph, which is Hilchot Tfilah, and he writes over there, you can't enter Beis HaKnesset B'Gili HaRosh. Why the necessity to reiterate, to re-articulate the halacha? We already have it here mentioned quite explicitly.
But there are also just why women don't have the same din?
Why?
Women.
I will discuss that issue as well. The Gam Kain question, that these are questions that Talmidim of mine have asked me over the years. A number of women, young women, asked me this question, why are they obligated to wear some sort of a yarmulke, some sort of a head covering? So, that will also be included in the session.